Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Unfounded Podcast, everyone. My name is Christopher Turner, and I am your host. Hold on one second. Let me get me on my camera here. I am starting live episodes again, guys. So this is exciting. It's probably going to be some kinks along the way because it takes a little bit of effort to get these things up and running. But I'm really happy to be back on here. Happy to have a little bit more versatile content for you guys today. So that being said, there's been a lot going on in my life the last week. I've had a lot of really interesting developments, a lot of big changes, so I'm excited about that. And I kind of wanted to get on here and talk at you for a little while. So that being said, I'd like to kind of roll right into it. When I listen back to my podcasts, one of the things that I get frustrated with is I tend to ramble in the beginning. So let's go ahead and just start with something. So those of you that are joining me, actually, I am doing a Facebook live stream right now for those of you that are connected to my personal Facebook page. I'm kind of getting it started there while I get the Unfounded page back up and running because there's a lot of changes over the last year and a half. So those of you that are joining me there today, thank you. If you have my YouTube channel, The Unfounded Podcast, I'm live streaming there as well. So check me on out there if you can. And actually, hold on one second, guys. I had a little bit of technical difficulties going on right here with my headphones. The plug like only likes to work if it's sitting perfectly right. There it is. Nice. All right, there we go. So, wherever you're joining me, if you're on the traditional platforms, you know, on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or if you're joining me on one of the social media platforms, welcome. It's good to see all of you here. I'm excited to be able to do some tarot and things like that and show you some of the pictures. So those of you that are joining me just on the audio version, if you're on Spotify, you'll be able to actually watch me on Spotify now because Spotify has video episodes integrated. But if you want to join the live stream, I'll try to get something like a schedule or I'll try to give you a heads up ahead of time in some way so you know that you can come and watch me instead of live if you want to interact, because eventually we'll be able to interact. I don't know if I can right now necessarily because I kind of need a producer to do that, but because I can't necessarily interact with you guys while I'm talking. It'll just be too much mess. You know, I keep on trying to reach back here because I'm trying to grab my Buddha book. So you guys can see now, which is awesome. I have my tarot cards or some of my stuff back here. Just a little bit of it. Some incense burning just to set the mood, right? So let's go to our Buddha book. Let's get it started. All right. So I have the sayings of the Buddha book, the reflections by For Every Day by William Ray. We've been doing this for the past few episodes, and I've really been enjoying it. So I'm going to do an intuitive pull again for this and see what we need to hear today. So this is for the general collective. Anybody that's reading, if you're just joining me for the first time, this message applies to you. I am intuitively pulling whatever message your guides, your angels, your ancestors want you to see right now. So here we go. Let's see what should we do. Okay. All right, so I'm going to try to hold this up for the camera a little bit. I don't know if it's going to work, but there we go. This is a little harder than it looks. So we have page 76, I believe, and page 77, yeah? Looks like let's start on page 76. It says, "Him, the unprovocable. Him, the unclouded mind, freed of all lustfulness, void of all indolence, guide of those on the brink, is master of birth and death." And I think we've actually read this one before, so that's interesting. I know we have, actually. I remember this from another episode. Let's go to page 77. It says, "These are my sons. This is my wealth. In this way, the fool troubles himself. He is not the owner of himself, how much less of his sons and his wealth." Let me read that one more time. "These are my sons. This is my wealth. In this way, the fool troubles himself. He is not the owner of himself, how much less of his sons and his wealth." Okay, so that's interesting that we pulled to the same pages, because if I remember right, the way I kind of broke down that saying last time was focusing on the idea of owning things, and that if you think you own there's a weird way in which we try to pretend like we own things in this world, you know, other people, other places. But it's in a weird way, it's because we like to feel like we're in control over ourselves, you know, because it's scary to think that we can be out of control, right? And so there's a way in which I think anybody that kind of like focuses on things outside of themselves and tries to lord them over you or build themselves up based on those things, kind of the trivial or shallow things in this world, they're not really a master of anything, is what this is saying. It's saying they're kind of a slave to things. They're the opposite of a master. And so maybe there's a reason this same passage came up today. Maybe that's something that we need to refocus on again. Because I know that I've been having some repeated energies into my life. You know, I talked, I believe, episode before last about forgiveness. And it's been something I've been struggling with and really working with, because I've been going through a lot of, you know, frustrating situations in my life. And when you're in a situation where you feel like you've been wronged, or you're maybe you've just had a lot of, you know, a bad string of it for a while, there's a way in which you can kind of start to blame things outside of yourself if you're not careful. And it feels as if you're kind of vindicating the pain you felt by finding other people and other places and other things to blame it on. But if you focus on kind of the product of doing that, you'll notice that it doesn't get better. And so it's important to recognize that the only place you should really ever look if you're in somewhere you don't want to be is internally. There's a responsibility that's necessary to get yourself out of a dark place. And it's not meant to be kind of a message of harshness. It's meant to be a message of kind of resilience and like self-love and upliftment for you. So I don't know who needs to hear that, but it feels like there's a message that keeps coming through of forgiveness and of kind of focusing on yourself internally and not on things outside of yourself. So I'm going to kind of start off with that. I think it really is one of the hard parts of about the idea or the concept of forgiveness is that it's not something that we do for some reason. It doesn't make sense unless you really sit there and think about it, but we believe that when we forgive somebody, it does something for them. There's this weird way in which when you're presented with the concept of forgiving somebody that you've been hurt by, it feels like it's about them, about forgiving them, just kind of the way that the verbiage, like the language itself, sets it up. But it's not. It's for you, you know. It's always for you in that sense. It's not a selfish thing. Low vibration, negative energy, like it accumulates on you. You know, it accumulates. It doesn't accumulate on you. I guess it can, but it's like you become what you speak, what you do, what you consume, right? And so, your thoughts are included in that, right? Your thoughts are some of the most powerful things you have. It's what makes you magic in some ways too. So if you're not careful with the way you think about people and the way that you kind of project your thoughts outwardly on the world, you're going to end up kind of inducing a spiral, karmically at least, where you'll experience exactly what you're putting out, and that's not fun. You know, because just think about how nasty you can be when you're angry at somebody. The easiest way to stop yourself from doing that anymore is to recognize that truly, truly, if you do that to somebody else, you are doing it to yourself. Truly. It's not like a like hippie message. It's a practical message. If you're not careful, you will misunderstand it. And there's a lot of things in spirituality that you'll misunderstand if you're not careful like that, you know? Anyway, let's get some tarot cards, yeah? And then I actually have, I was at church today, right? So it might, that's an interesting string of subjects, right? Let's do tarot cards, and I was at church today. Yeah, I do. I like to still, I go to church. I'm baptized Catholic. I go to a bunch of different churches just kind of because I kind of like to see like the different messages, and because I find the same message everywhere I go. It's kind of interesting. And then I practice a lot of like really traditional kind of old school, some would consider occult style, you know, faith and religion. So I'm not somebody that likes to be put in a box, and I don't think anybody should allow themselves to be put in a box, because I think that's precisely what keeps you from growing. So anyway, what should we do? Let's do the Guardians deck. Angels and Ancestors deck. It's this deck. For those of you that can finally see it, it's really cool. So I'm excited to be able to show you guys the decks that I'm using now. For those of you that are watching, if you want to purchase these decks, I'll put them in the descriptions if it's a live show, after the live show. And then for the video episodes or the audio episodes, it'll be in the description, the show notes. You can find it on Amazon. It's a really great deck. Really cool pictures. And as you can see, it's really inspires a lot of emotion when you look at it. So let's get it started here. All right, so every time I just kind of shuffle and do the exact same thing I was doing out loud, but I do it in my head most of the time, so you guys don't have to hear it every time, because that also gets a little bit over the top and a little annoying sometimes, you know. Guys, please do that. He's like, okay, we get it, bud, you know. So, but we are doing a general message. We're trying to figure out what can help all of us, you know. What do we all need to hear? Everything's vibration, guys. It's how this works. It sounds, again, kooky, especially if you don't practice it very often. But when you start to pull these cards and you have those days, you know, different days where you're going through shit, and then all of a sudden, like, cards will pull out or pop out when you're looking at them that are just exactly what you need to hear when you need to hear it. Like, I can't give you, like, tangible proof, like pictures of something like that, you know, in the way that people usually want to be proven. To have God proven to them, you know what I mean? But what I can give you is anecdotal evidence of through these kind of things, you know, your own anecdotal evidence, so that maybe you get something while you're listening to me. Maybe you have your own experience, you know what I mean, that you can then start to pull on. So, let's see, what do we need today? We have summer. Card right there. It's summer. It says bask in joy and light. And it has a picture of a bee on it. And it's a pretty card. It's got it looks like honeycomb. The bee's over a honeycomb, but it's almost like a dream catcher. It's like a honeycomb dream catcher that the bee is sitting over. So maybe you're having some dreams, some really intense dreams at night. I'm getting something like if you are having a lot of intense dreams. I'm sorry, guys, I'm having more issues with my headphones here. Let me try to fix this real quick before I move on. There we go. It was really annoying because there was buzzing every time the music would play. So, okay. But I'm looking at this, I see the dream catcher, and for some reason that's sticking out, not necessarily the bee itself, but it says summer, bask in joy and light. So like, obviously the card's bringing a message of we had fall, I believe, a week or two ago, right? That we were in this season of fall, and it was time for us to kind of let go of the old and go inward in a sense and prepare for the winter and, you know, trust and have faith that there's going to be a time when it's time to blossom and the sun comes back out. Well, if you've been going through it the last couple of weeks, this card's here to tell you that, you know, summer's here. We don't have to wait a full season like we do in the physical world, right? Spiritual world has its own time frame. So, you're moving into a time frame right now that is more represented by summer, which means it's a time of joy and light and kind of not necessarily growth, but it's like you've already grown. You're presenting your colors. You know what I mean? You're out there for everybody to see, right? And so maybe there's pieces of this too. Like I keep on getting that the I don't know if you can see it in the card. It looks like a dream catcher, right? And there's pieces of the honeycomb that are pulled out of the middle of the dream catcher and are kind of used as the bottom pieces of it, right? And so I'm kind of looking at it like there might be some hints or something in your dreams. I don't know if you have a lot of vivid dreams or you've been having some vivid dreams, but I feel like there's some message coming through in your dreams as well. So let's look in the book. Let's go to the book today and see what the what it has for us in the book. Summer. Let's see what page it's on too. Wonder. Bear with me here while I get the book or the page. There it is. It's on page 142. It says, "Rise up, open your wings, and shine. Bring your projects and plans out into the light, into manifestation." So maybe that's where the dreams and stuff I was getting was coming from. Maybe you've been working or you've been dreaming in some way, and now it's kind of time for it to come out into fruition. Maybe it's time to bring it out into the light. That's exciting, right? So, all right, so let's go to the about part. It says, "Summer has always been recognized as a time for joy, for going on adventures and making memories. Flowers are in full bloom, animals are enjoying the freedom of the wild summer days and nights, and people are taking holidays, basking in the sunshine and being lifted energetically by the light and warmth." The extended message: this is the perfect opportunity for you to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Light has come to banish the darkness. Clarity is arriving, allowing you to know exactly where you are and how you can move forward. Angels and ancestor guides are encouraging you to enjoy this moment and not to rush forward, because this is a time for pleasure, enjoyment, and expansion. There is a great chance that you have extra energy, creativity, and inspiration at this time. Notice what is coming to you, as it is inspiration directly from the divine. When the summer card arrives in the future position of the spread, or as the last card in a reading, it can also indicate that the coming summer will usher in important energies with regards to your question or your intentions. All right. So if you had a question or something like that, then that would kind of clarify it for you. Sorry, everybody. I got to do like a headphone switch here real quick because I'm having a bunch of issues on my other headphones. Okay, so I think we're good now. It's a little harder when we're doing live shows. You know, usually if I was in a normal show, I could just like kind of pause it and we'd be good. But doing the live show, it's a little bit harder. So, summertime, right? Good. Whatever you've been working on, it's time to bring it out. You know, like I'm kind of in a similar energy right now. Obviously, I'm sitting here in front of a camera doing this with you, right? This is my project. So, what's yours, right? It's been a long time since I've been in front of a camera doing this. You know. So it was nerve-wracking. I was sitting here before this was starting, just like contemplating whether I was going to do it or not again, getting everything set up, because it's a lot more production than just doing the audio version. And there was part of me that was like, no, don't do it, you know, like just go watch a movie or something, relax today, it's a Sunday. And there was the other part of me that was like, no, that's exactly why you should do it today, it's a Sunday, you know. So anyway, I'm on here and that's good, and I'm happy about that. So that being said, summertime, guys, bring what you've been working out into the light. I also have the lady here. She's kind of looking at me. She's like Empress energy. If you're familiar with the traditional tarot deck, the Empress is kind of a major arcana card that represents kind of fertility and definitely like the divine mother, the Mother Earth, especially. Excuse me. In this card specifically, she has apples, and she's holding out, it looks like an apple at least. It looks like she's offering them to you, and kind of the fruits of your labor. It's time to enjoy the fruits of your labor, right? So bring your project out into the light. Yeah, Mother Earth right below it, see? Can't make it up. Mother Earth. So the Mother Earth's trying to work with you right now. Guy is very close with you, or focusing, being out in nature would be a good place for you to be right now. See in the card, there's Mother Earth. It has, she's pregnant, right? And she's pregnant with the Earth. There's also butterflies around, so maybe you've been seeing butterflies as well. But all of these are signs, kind of synchronicities too. To let you know that you're on the right path, or that maybe somebody's around you, you know, angels are around you guiding you at that time. So focus on those. Pay attention when you're out and about. But especially in context to whatever you've been working on, it is definitely time. There's a lot of Empress energy to kind of bear the fruits of your labor, to reap what you sow, right? So yeah, summertime. So that's good news, guys. That's really good energy. And that's kind of the energy I've been in too, is it's things are transitioning from fall. Fall is one of those energies, at least spiritually, and winter, I guess, maybe. I feel like we were in fall a couple weeks ago, and then we went into winter. I didn't get that card in the podcast, but I felt like maybe last week or throughout these periods of time, I've been in a winter period as well, kind of isolating and feeling a little out in the cold and a little lonely, as you've heard. And you know, all of this comes with the territory, right? The seasons always change. So there's a really, it's really good to get, not necessarily to focus on resilience, but just focus on that message. It's going to come and go. You know, if you're in winter, then you know that spring's right around the corner, kind of a thing. So summertime is here and it's time to enjoy it. All right. So I was at church, and I go to, like I said, a couple of different churches. I was raised Catholic, and I like to go to Catholic church from time to time still. Even though many of you have probably heard me be critical of the Catholic faith, like, I think there's good and bad things, right? About everything. You know, there's no institution, there's no structure that we've created, that man's created, that isn't going to be, have its negative aspects to it. But one thing that I've found is that whether I'm listening to Alan Watts on YouTube, right, or I'm sitting, in a church on Sunday, I can hear God talking both places, you know, and it's because you don't have to, God's not hiding somewhere specific, you know, right? God's not hiding in one church or one religion, you know, it's kind of, God's hiding in you, right? So it's something like that. You can find it anywhere. You can find it in a dog. You can find it in a cat. You can find it in a child. You can find it in a plant. You can find it in a church. You can find it. You can make anywhere your church, is what I'm getting at. You don't have to go to a church to worship, you know. But I like to, and I choose to, because I like to also know what people believe. It's important to know and understand what people believe. It's just because you get to see what you believe. But in the same way I was talking earlier about not being put in a box, it's important, I think, to maintain or know who you are when you're going and engaging with other ideas, so that you don't take on other people's ideas prematurely. You know, you develop your own conception of reality, and you allow that to intermingle with other people's, especially spiritually, because you, whoever you are watching this right now, have a very specific perspective that I've never seen, and I want to know what it is. You know? But the only way I can figure out what you are seeing is if you tell me the truth. You know, there's a fundamental necessity in society, period, in the social contract that we all agree upon kind of non-verbally by participating, that tells us that we need to We agree to tell the truth in a way, because we know that if we don't, then we have to play this game with each other of guessing what it is. You know? And it's like, it's just not very productive. You know, if you think about it from that kind of standpoint, like, if we were all like in a primitive society and we're trying to figure out how to get things done, we'd want everybody just to kind of be honest about what they had, like what resources they had and what they did, and how much time they could spend here and what they did, just so we could get things done, you know? But when people don't do that, when people hoard things, or they lie, or they tell, you know, little, make excuses, or call in sick, or whatever it is, you know, our versions of it, then it causes, you know, wrinkles in the fabric, in the social fabric. And that's kind of a trivial way to explain it. But I think it starts actually in our personal sort of spheres of influence. You know, like we cultivate. Honesty and integrity in our personal life, and internally with the way that we treat ourselves and the people that are closest to us, right? So if we don't cultivate truth in our own spheres of influence, we're definitely not going to be honest out in society. You know what I mean? Some stranger on the street asks us a question, somebody that's not important to us, like, what incentive do we have to be honest or truthful, especially in a society that tends to benefit or incentivize being dishonest sometimes, right? So That being said, looking for your own truth is exceedingly important, right? Because everybody's going to try to tell you and believe and pretend like they know, they got to figure it out. Because especially when, like, it's encouraging when somebody else agrees with you, you know? When somebody tells you, hey, I believe what you believe. Yeah, I agree with that. Like, that's what everybody's looking for. Oh, I'm not alone. Shit, hell yeah. See, they believe me too. That's what a lot of religion is, right? It's just feeling that comfort and wanting more of it. Oh, I'm not crazy. But it's good to be crazy in a certain way because that means you're unique and that's what we need, right? That's honest, at least. I take crazy honest over, you know, dishonest, predictably dishonest any day. You know, I guess is what I'm saying. So, I don't know what got me on that tangent either, but I'm definitely just going with it today. So I wanted to, anyway, the reason I keep bringing it up, I keep on trying to get back to this, guys, but we're going to get to it eventually, is I have, let's see if we have this on here. I have this pulled up. For those of you who are watching, you can see this now. It's a passage from the Bible, and it was part of the service that I was at today, and it's, I'm not going to try to preach to you. I promise you that, right? I'm not going to sit here and be like, you should go to a Christian church and follow Jesus, you know? Like, no. What I'm going to try to show or demonstrate is how you can get the message, like a weekly message. You can get a message from God out of anything, really, especially, you know, the Bible's an obvious example, but that there's, you know, in the way that we can read the tarot cards, you know, you can do, you do the same process when you read the Bible or when you listen to a mythological story, you know, it's a form of prayer, right? It's just a different type of it that we don't usually associate with prayer. But anyway, all right, this says, this is a passage from 2 Corinthians 12:9, and I'm not exactly sure, just to clarify, guys, I didn't really put a lot of thought into these. I just wrote them down while I was in church, you know, and they, I've been doing it for a couple of weeks, and I've been wanting to do this for a while, but I thought that they'd be relevant in some way. You know, I thought it'd be interesting to go over them to see how they tied in. This specific one, there's three different ones, but I picked this one. I have the other two pulled up. You can see. I don't know why I'm pointing at it with my finger. It's right here. You can't see what's up behind the camera. I'll get used to it at some point, guys. Don't worry. Anyway, the passage that I picked seemed to stick out to me for some reason, so I guess we'll try to figure out what that is. But it's 2 Corinthians verses 12 through 9, right? So, or 12:9, I believe that's how you say it. I don't know how 9 through 12 makes more sense. I don't know. Anyway, let's go with it. It says, "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So, many of you that are listening to that may have been like, huh? You know what I mean? Like, what? And I think that's some of the problem we have in a lot of religious texts, is there's this like a, well, it's kind of like a, it's a language barrier of sort, but it's a generational language barrier. You know, it's kind of like if your parents and you were separated by 1,000 years instead of just, you know, 30 or 40, you know, how hard would it be to communicate with to them, and how funny would it be to watch the different, you know, quirks and things they have? Something like that. That's why it's so hard to understand the way that people talk and the way these books are written, I think. It's just because it was a different time. You know, people had different habits of speech. Anyway, if we put it, and oftentimes we don't put enough thought into books and writing, these kind of writings, because it takes a little effort. But if we sit for a second and try to pull this apart, I think there's some value in it. You know, especially there's some real value in it. So it says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And this is, it says, "And he said unto me." So this is from, for those of you that aren't familiar, this is from, I believe, a story of Elijah in the Bible. And Elijah was somewhat of like a kind of a predecessor to Jesus. Like if you were to think of it in like a software terms, it'd be like a beta program for Jesus. So like Elijah was kind of like a archetype of the of the Savior before the Savior came. And I had very similar qualities. And this is a passage in which Elijah is talking to God, right, is saying. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. So he's saying, God said that my grace is enough for you. And I think it's important to pull apart what the definition of grace is. So we'll do that as well. But I'm going to read it one more time before we do that. It says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's a confusing sentence. You're strong when you're weak. You know what I mean? Like, what does that mean? And then, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So that last part, too, is important. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Again, glory in my infirmities. Infirmities sounds like something negative, but glory is something that sounds like something positive. So there's this weird way which in this passage, just on the surface, if you read it a couple times, you'll notice that they're flipping, they're making negative, typically negative things appear positive. Or that God is telling Abraham to some degree that the things that you're perceiving as negatives are actually your strengths, right? And that's a really, really deep message. It's an important message because it means that if you're in a dark time or if you're in a place where you feel like you don't have a lot of strength, you're precisely where you're supposed to be, right? You know, what is grace? Let's look up that. Wikipedia. Yeah. We'll do it in Christianity, I guess. It says, let's see here. Grace in Christianity. In Western Christian theology, grace is created by God, who gives it as help to one because God desires one to have it. So this is something that's given to you, not something that you can take. Not necessarily because of anything one has done to earn it. Exactly. It is understood by Western Christians to be a spontaneous gift from God to people. Generous, free, and totally unexpected and undeserved. So that's it has a quality of it needs to be undeserved. It has to be kind of sporadic. It needs to be something that is divine in origin. That takes the form of divine favor, love, clemency, and a share in the divine life of God. So when we're talking about grace in this quote, we're talking about that. So God's saying that don't worry. Like, I will give you what you need when you need it. You know, this is saying that expect the unexpected, divine favor, love, clemency, kind of being taken care of, not needing for anything. You know, you will be given grace when needed. You will have grace when you need it. The whole definition of grace is that it's something that you can't have. You're given it. You know what I mean? You can't take it. You're given it. So I think what this is saying is you don't have to worry about anything, right off the bat. God's saying to Elijah, you don't have to worry about anything. And then next passage is for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So he's also saying in the next one, wherever you're weak, when you're in your bad times, essentially, that's when I'm going to make you strong, kind of a thing. You know, the pit is where you learn to stand up, right? And then moving to the last passage, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So this whole passage is specifically talking about focusing on the positive nature of your suffering. Right? Those seem like opposite concepts, right? What positive can come out of suffering? You know, what positive can kind of come out of pain? What positive can come out of lack? What positive can come out of, you know, being taken advantage of? This is right here, strength. You know what I mean? And also, it begs the question in the passage, like, how do you get it without going through shit? What this is talking about, this is giving all of you, any of you, and you don't have to be Christian to believe this. This is just where I found this specific message, but it appears everywhere else. But today it appeared here. You are going to go through a lot of bad shit. For sure. Promise you. Guaranteed. Unfortunately. At least you will if you want to be strong. you know? If you don't want to be strong, I think you have a choice. And that's one of the hard parts about this world, this modern world today. We have the choice. We have the choice to be comfortable, not strong. There's nothing strong in comfort. There's laziness and kind of an expectation of the same that comes in comfort, right? There's like a dismantling of the spirit, of the passion within somebody that comes when comfort comes as well. It's something that you can't. It's a negative thing. That's what's weird is many of the experiences we have in this world that we perceive as positive, the things that make us comfortable, are the most harmful things we can experience. It's a really brutal truth to recognize. The things you eat, the things you consume, the stuff you say, the stuff you watch, the ways in which you lie, the ways in which you beat yourself up, those all are the things that are kind of well, I don't know. I lost my train of thought there. I don't know what I was going to say. You know, I don't usually plan what I was going to say, but then I stopped myself and I started to think like, well, that you do all of these things. Like somebody once said to me that there's a, you're always, everybody's always doing the best for who they are at the time. You know what I mean? And, it really is true. It's a hard thing to argue against. But like it's hard for me to like oftentimes when I talk, I'll catch myself or I'll get myself trapped in this corner, kind of like I've just done, where I talk about kind of on one hand letting go of control. You know, in many episodes. And forgiveness and these kind of things, but then I also talk about I talk almost critically about our society, about us individually, about what we could do to help ourselves. There's this part of me that wants to fix things, you know what I mean? And I don't think anybody's really immune to that desire if you try to sit down and ponder any of the questions we have modern day. It's overwhelming. There's a lot of shit that needs help or feels that way, right? But that's why there's something in this message today, right here. You know? Like. Oh, hold on. I might have lost my camera here too, folks. Oops. Hold on one second. I might have to do a little pause here. For those of you that are watching, give me a second. Apologies. Okay, folks. Sorry about that. So it looks like for those of you that are joining me on the live stream, there's going to be no video of me for the rest of the time, unfortunately, having some technical difficulties with the camera. So sorry, that's why I had to pause there for a second. I'm having a bunch of different issues, it looks like. But that's what happens when you try to produce a show by yourself, you know, and record it at the same time. So, maybe there's some synchronicity in it at least, or something useful. It's 44 minutes right now as I say that, so maybe that's useful at least. Let's go back and let's look it up. Let's see what we can pull back out of this episode. Like I said, usually I find that when things go wrong, it actually doesn't necessarily mean that the episode's ruined. It just kind of means that there was something that needed to shift. So 44, let's see what that means. 44, angel number. Anyway, the point being, guys, what I was trying to get to when before that happened was that there's a message in this that when we try to focus on fixing the world, when we try to focus on where everybody else is going wrong, where the world isn't put well together, where how we've gone wrong in the past, maybe we're not even focusing on other people, when we're too self-critical, like I said, when we're self-flatulating in a way, when we whip ourselves and we don't allow ourselves kind of the ability to just be, what we are, who we are. We hurt ourselves. We make ourselves weaker. We're in a weak place, and we make ourselves weaker. It's like that's why this is why this passage is important. It's like your higher self, God, whatever you want to say. It's your angels telling you stop hurting yourself when you're down. You know what I mean? Because that's we're making you strong right then. You know, don't beat yourself up because you've gone through hard things. You know, hard things happen to people. And especially if you're somebody that has aspirations to do anything, to be anything, to become anything, you're going to have to go through something. You know, you're going to have to be able to trust your instincts. You're going to have to follow an internal compass, one that doesn't kind of replicate somebody else's journey. And that is the most profoundly hard thing I've ever encountered. But in order to gain that strength, you kind of have to go through this kind of suffering that is being spoke of today. And I found it inspirational because I think that for any of you or any of that have been through a lot in their life or have been through a lot of really sad situations or depressing or hard times, you know, or just look out into the world and see the world as a negative place because of how much pain and suffering there is in it. In this message, you can save yourself so much suffering in this message, unnecessary suffering, and recognizing that you know, the world is as it's supposed to be. People are as they're supposed to be. They may not be where you'd like them to be. The world may not appear as you would perceive it or prefer it. But it's a really, really delicate balance, and you got to be really careful with your desires. And be really careful with our perception and our ego. If you think that you can solve really, really big problems by yourself, I would challenge you to describe how, you know, to yourself, not to anybody else. You know, I think of like a, I know it's somewhat of a tangent, but I feel like I'm picturing like, you know, political conversations. When we get around election times and stuff, that's usually when people put on their political hats and they start trying to solve the world and creating world peace, right? And it's like, okay, so let's go back to the teams and see where we left off and. We start to try to fix the world, and we never get any further along, do we? It seems like it just kind of degrades a little bit more each time. And I do often wonder if it's because, like, wait, what are we trying to do? What are we trying to fix? Like, who are we? Who and what are we trying to fix? What would happen if people just, like, recognize whatever suffering they have in their life as this, as grace, as like the opportunity to receive divine grace? Can you flip any of the negative situations in your life that way? You know? How could you be worse off for not having had the experience that you had? Wow, that's a hard thing to say. I hope you get what I mean. What would you be like if you hadn't experienced that, you know? And would you be better or worse? Many of you may say worse. Many of you may say better. I think it kind of depends on how you view it or where you are in the healing process, you know, through whatever trauma you've experienced, you know, however much forgiveness there is left to do. But I feel like there's this weird way in which you get what you need exactly when you need it. Alan Watts used to always say this one quote from the Bible, and it was, "If God so clothed the blades of grass in the fields, then will he not so clothe you, faithless ones? Something like that. I think I might have butchered it, but point is, like, if every day the flowers bloom, you know, and every day those flowers, they don't have legs, they don't have hands, they don't have mouths, they can't ask for food, they can't pray to God and say, why the hell didn't you bring me what I needed? And yet they bloom. Yet they grow. Right? And yes, they may die. But there's always flowers growing. Right? There's always somewhere. It's this constant ongoing process. You know, you'll be taken care of for exactly as long as you need to be. You don't have to worry about that part. It's above you. It's not your responsibility. You know, so often we get caught in this rat race mentality, in this go, 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 go kind of mechanistic secular world, and then we think that we have to make everything happen. We have to, like, hammer everything into place. And especially when you get into a position where you feel like maybe you're in a, you know, pit of despair. Maybe it's one of those winter times that lasts a lot longer than just one, like, physical season. You know, maybe there's a couple years of winter. And you're sitting there like, what the hell, God? Maybe you don't believe in God. Maybe you don't, you know, pray, whatever it is. Maybe it's just your internal dialogue. What the hell is going on? What am I doing wrong? Well, nothing is the message. Nothing. You're doing nothing wrong. Sometimes, you know, there's this weird thing, and this isn't necessarily a positive aspect in the military, but it's used to kind of break people's mental state down so that you can be more influenced, right? But there's this necessity when you're trying to make somebody new, you know, you want to change something about yourself, you know, in the military, the way they go about it is kind of breaking down your personality in kind of a more controlling and aggressive way, right? And I've experienced that, you know, I've seen how that works, and it's a mind. It screws with your mind, right? But there's a way in which you need to be broken down kind of like that throughout your life. But in a way that, like, kind of constantly keeps you in check. Keeps your ego from growing too big, you know? It's like the only thing you really have to be scared of is when you get a little bit too confident, you know? Confidence is a son of a bitch, you know? You never know when you're got too much of it until it's too late. The line between confidence and cockiness is thin, you know. So that, you know, we need to be brought down to be rebuilt. We need to be humbled so that we can be given the strengths that we didn't know we had. You know, we have to be shown those strengths again. You grow up with a bunch of trauma. You hide all of your abilities. You bury what you actually want to do. And then you wake up in bed 30 years later wondering what the hell happened, and you're like, well, I don't even know what I like anymore, and I don't know, I'm unhealthy, and I still feel like a kid inside, but everybody's treating me like a fucking adult, and now I have to do all this bullshit, and I have all these responsibilities, and now I have a, like, yeah, life fucking happened, you know what I mean? And then people get this resentment and this bitterness at, like, their lot in life, and it's like, well, you don't think you're going to be given what you need? But you think if you stopped, you'd just all of a sudden go away? You know? There's been so many times in my life that I thought that I was just going to be done for, you know? Like, really, like, just, how am I going to get out of this one? Where am I going to go next? How am I going to get money? Where's the food going to come from? That kind of stuff, you know what I mean? It always came from somewhere. And the more I the older I get, the more I realize that like this grace idea is true in a profound way. But you don't experience grace in the way that we like to think about it. It's not something like, you know, we talk about divine grace and we usually think of like a... Well, I feel like with the way we use it in the modern context, the term grace, we use it in like more of like the graceful sense, you know, like somebody that has grace or like is somewhat elegant in a way, but like soft too, like graceful, right? I'm trying to think of how to describe it. We don't use the word properly, I think is what I'm saying. We've lost the... Grace is like a slow burn idea. You know what I mean? I don't know what I'm getting here, but it's weird. We've conceived of it wrong. Like you're given throughout many different times in your life, many different times. And if you think back on it, you'll know as soon as I say these things, as I'm talking right now, like you've experienced grace in your life so many times. Times when you may have just been at your wit's end and there was like that one person that like, I don't know, said that one thing that is just exactly what you needed. You know what I mean? Maybe it was one person that just didn't do the one thing that would have set you over the edge. You know, you're in traffic and you just had the worst fucking day and you're just hoping that one person that pulled out of you isn't going to fucking flip you off. They're just going to give you a wave, you know? They do. You know, there's this way in which the only way you're not going to experience that is if you run around trying to kind of avoid any chance of having a bad day. You know? God, bad days get exponentially worse when you try to avoid them. You know? I pulled another tarot card when I was sitting there, and it's the Animal Garden tarot card, or Animal Guardian tarot card, which is the one that's on the cover of the deck. It says trust your instincts. So, you know, you trust that what you need is going to be given to you, brought to you, and you don't have anything to worry about. You know, you'll experience divine grace when you need to experience divine grace. There was this. Recently, I experienced this. I was in the grocery store, and I had, just gotten out of the relationship, and it was just a couple days afterwards, actually. And I had, you know, finances were really up in the air. I hadn't been making any money for a long time, so I really didn't have a lot of money. And I was trying to figure out. I had been, you know, just went out and DoorDashed, and I was really depressed. You know, like it's really sad, and just trying to felt really. Really lonely, and was trying to pick myself up, you know, and I was trying to just stay positive, and I told myself, okay, well, I'm going to go get some decent food, and, you know, with the money that I do have, I'm going to go get some decent food, and I went to the grocery store, and I tried really hard, you know, like I walked through, and I did my best to get the best food I could for the money I had, and I got to the checkout, and I went and was checking out, and I got kind of towards the end, and I realized I had, you know, gotten a little more than I had could afford, quite a bit more actually. It was like half of the cart, and I don't know how I was frustrated. I was sitting there, and I was, you know, almost in tears. I was really, really frustrated, and one of those moments where you're just sitting there, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Because I didn't have, you know, I just lost the person that I depended on. In those moments, you know, where I would like automatically the person you'd think to call in that moment, and what you do. It's not there anymore, you know, and then I'm at a point in my life where I was really trying to institute kind of stability for myself, you know, and be independent in a way and not have to depend on ask for anybody's help. So I didn't want to ask for, you know, help from my parents or somebody like that, because it was really important to me to be able to do it on my own. And so I was standing there, and I turned around to look and talk to the lady, and that was working the register, and I asked her, you know, I'm sorry, like I can't, and I was embarrassed, you know, I'm sorry, I can't pay for these is there, you know, should I put them back? Or she's like, she was just starting to say, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. I'll just take it. I'll just take the cart. And the lady standing next to me walked up to me and she like smiled at me. She says, I got your cart. Don't worry. And like, I paused for a second, you know, cause it hit me really hard. it was one of those moments where it's making me emotional just thinking about it. You know what I mean? Because this is grace. This is divine grace. This is what I'm talking about. It was in the moment when I was being tested, you know, it's really emotional. I'm sorry that video cut out, guys. It kind of sucks, but, it was really emotional because I in that moment I could feel inside that what am I going to do? You know, like, what am I going to do? How am I going to make this work? Like, this is embarrassing. You know, I had only checked out and scanned like some of the items that were kind of, like, I didn't have a full meal left. You know, I hadn't done a good job. I only had like a couple of things that I could eat. So I really had messed it up. And right when I was, you know, had basically given up and said, okay, I guess I'm just going to have to go with what I have. This lady just, you know, out of the kindness of her heart, decided to buy my food for me. And it wasn't just a little food, guys. Like, she ended up paying like almost $100 for my food. You know, like, she paid a lot of me. She didn't just pay, like, she didn't have me pay half of it. I mean, she paid the whole thing. And, you know, I immediately started crying, you know, and it was one of those things. I was somewhat, not self-conscious, but it was one of those, like, it was a really personal emotional experience because I was having like I was experiencing that grace, you know, and when you're having those kind of experiences, it's really overwhelming. It's a kind of emotion that you'll feel that doesn't, it's not that you're embarrassed, but it's very personal. You know what I mean? It's a very deeply personal feeling. I kind of had this experience standing in the middle of a Walmart self-checkout, you know, and it does. You know these things because they touch you, no matter the time and distance from it, you know? Like, just thinking back to that memory and thinking about the way in which that occurred, the feeling and the surprise. I had no idea that somebody was going to be there to do that for me. But I had been praying a lot, you know? I had, doing what I could to be whatever my idea of me is. And I did believe, well, I think the only price for that grace is that you need to believe that you're worthy of it. You can't take something that you don't believe in. But there's opportunities out there for you like that everywhere, you know? Like, God acts through people. God is people, you know? But if you're running around thinking you are God, like, how can God interact with you? That's why you need to be brought down sometimes. That's why you need to be drug into the mud. And I promise you, when you're in that mud, you're going to look at God and tell it, fuck you. And all I can think about in this moment is this divine being sitting here waiting for the opportunity to help you. How heartbreaking it's got to be to take something you love that you want to help and to recognize that it's so twisted and so far gone that it will push and try to attack you if you do, so you have to put it in the mud. You have to watch the thing you love sit in the mud. And you have to not help it until it stops. Until it remembers. Hey, that's what you are. Do you remember me? I never left you. I'm not going anywhere. That's divine grace, right? So it says, most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities. I will be happy when I am sick, when I am hurt, when I am down, when I am out. I will look for the silver lining. Oh, rejoice, because I know that I am ready to receive that grace. So in what way in your life can you do that? It says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the last sentence, you know, and that's probably the hardest one to disentangle, I think, because it's like, you know, what is the power of Christ? You know, how will that rest on you? Well, it's like, well, I've always seen, at least the way I see Christ, is like, this is the way I think of it, folks, is if you tried to embody a God, something as big as God in a body, one of the prerequisites is forgetting what you are. One of the defining things that makes us different than an angel or an alien or something like that is we just don't remember what we are. So that what God or the deity was asked to do when embodying in Jesus was to forget itself. And to be tested in the same way you're tested every day. Go out and live in this world of choice and temptation and pain, you know, and evil. You know, low vibration. So that God truly was, you know, on the cross, you know, forced to kind of experience everything, all the negative aspects of this world. It's like God imbued purpose into it, into the suffering by living it. You know, God imbues purpose into your suffering. It's right there within you. One of the ways you can recognize that you don't just suffer for yourself is that you have people that you come from. You have family members. Hundreds of them. They go back generations and generations and generations that suffered in ways that you don't even know about anymore, that you still carry. And they're a part of you. They're part of this healing. You know, they're a part of this journey into chaos and suffering. You know, they went through the same process. And none of us are perfect, you know. You see every day the ways in which people take wrong turns. So I want you to ask yourself, how many of your family members that came before you, how many of them do you think took a wrong turn? What do you think happened to that energy? It lives within you. You have a responsibility to heal yourself, because when you heal yourself, you heal every other person that came before you. You heal your family. Truly. You know, well, you ask, if you want to put meaning to the reason you're suffering, you know, if you want meaning to the negative aspects of the torture that you've experienced in your own individual life, recognize you're the hero, man. You are. You're Luke, and you're Darth Vader. And you're going to have to be both. But if you're willing to be Darth Vader, you know, who saves the day? You can save the day. You just got to be willing to be the villain. That's the only caveat. You know, you have to be your own villain. You have to be able to recognize that you're not perfect. You're an ego in many ways, you know? And you're made up of a lot of things that aren't just like you. That's why I was saying that other episode. Our Buddha saying, right? You don't own yourself. What is yourself? What did you come from? Would you own all the hundreds of people that sacrificed, you know, for millennia for you to be here? That are literally foundationally a part of you, you know, biochemically a part of you, but they're also, you know, spiritually very a part of you. So kind of rejoicing in the pitfalls of your life allows you to be the hero of your own story. You know, and you'll receive that kind of help along the way, exactly when you need it, through divine grace, folks. All right. So it's summertime. Bask in joy and light. You know, be the empress. Enjoy the fruits of your labor. Show off what you've made. Be proud of it. Right? When you've gone through something that's really difficult, right? The things that you've gone through in your past. Once you've gone through them and you processed them properly, you've placed yourself in the proper context in relation to those things, you will realize that they are the things that make you graceful. It's a very hard word to identify and define, but when you see somebody that's graceful, you know it. Look at them, right? The way they move and flow. And why do they flow? Why does somebody that's graceful flow, right? Well, because they're not holding on to anything. They're not pretending. There's no scheming going on behind the scenes. You don't have to maintain anything. There's no facade to hold up. You know what I mean? All there is just something that's nameless and indescribable and you. And it flows. Just like water, you know, it flows everywhere if you let it. And with that, guys, that's the Unfounded Podcast. Thank you for joining me. Sorry for the technical difficulties here today, but I really enjoyed at least getting it started with a live view, live streams here. So I'll get that ironed out. Like I said, it happens. You know, you get back into something, it's gonna happen. But I hope you enjoyed the episodes thus far, and keep in touch. Reach out on my social media platforms if you'd like to, or share it with somebody that you think it might benefit, and I will be back on here very soon. So I am sending all of you a whole lot of love, and yeah, talk to you soon. Bye bye.